Today we're going to talk about contemporary cases of yichud. So first of all, regarding the number of men and women, the ratio where there's potential yichud issues. So the Ramon Evan Ezer Hilchos Ishus Simon Chof Bei Seif Hey writes that isha achas mishachadesh im shnei anashim gesherim. One woman can have yichud with two kosher men im hu ba'ir if it's in the city. Ustam anashim gesherim. And you can assume that people, the average person, without knowing anything else, is kasher. But if they're prutzim, not ksherim, then they are forbidden. And then the Ramah adds, but belayla, at nighttime, you need three, because maybe one's going to fall asleep. Afilu b'ksherim. And then the Ramah says, v'yesh matirim isha echad im nashim harbe. One man is permitted with a lot of women, the Chalkos B'chokek says, meaning with three women. So what seems a simple understanding, and there are a lot of detailed, perhaps, exceptions, but the simple understanding is that two men and one woman do not pose a yichud problem during the day if the men are kosher, and at night, three men and one woman, and if it's one man and three women, so that should generally be okay, subject to certain exceptions. But that's generally the rule. Now, just want to point out, what's the definition of kosher? So what's interesting is, depends if you're a B'nai Brak or not a B'nai Brak. Rav Vosner writes in a Chu on Shevet Alevi, says that if someone reads a newspaper or goes to movies, he's not considered kosher, he's considered a parutz, and therefore, in that case, even two of these men with one woman would not be allowed. However, it would seem that other poskim have said that that might be for people who are living in B'nai Brak, that someone who may read certain newspapers or watch movies in B'nai Brak are not considered wholesome. But in, let's say, a more modern community where wholesome people may watch some movies or read newspapers, so there might be a different definition of what's kosher. And it might simply be if someone watches inappropriate movies or someone watches inappropriate sites on the internet, so then they would not be considered kosher. So, but two men, one woman is kosher. Two kosher men and one woman is fine during the day. Three men and one woman at night is okay. And one man and three women are generally okay. Ramosh says you can even rely on one man and three women at nighttime. Now, the what about siblings? So the halacha is, when it comes to siblings, Hilchos Ishus Siman Chaf Beis Sif Aleph says that the only exceptions to the prohibition of yichud is mother and a son, father and a daughter, and a husband with his wife when she's a nida. And the Bach says, no, also grandparents and grandkids are this would also apply. Not just parents and kids, but even grandparents and grandkids. What about siblings? So the Beis Shmuel, the Gemara says, Rav Asi says that, in the Gemara, that a man can have yichud with his sister, lefi sha'a, for a time, Vidar imima bikvios, and he can live with his mother, the same house as his mother, bikvios, permanently. So there's a distinction between shah and kvios. The Beis Shmuel cites this and cites the Rosh, who says we paskin like this. Aruch HaShulchan says similarly that a brother and sister can have yichud bederach arai, temporarily, but not bikvios, not permanently. So obviously the question is what's considered temporarily and permanently. So there are some, like the Imre Yosher and Chelik Beis Simon Mem Gibel says 30 days. And there are times, there are other precedents, perhaps, in halacha, where we talk about 30 days, maybe putting up a mezuzah in certain homes. What's considered, there might be rules about, in terms of when you're chayav and putting up a mezuzah, whether you've been living there if you're renting, whether you've been living there for 30 days or not. So there's this idea of 30 days creating a sense of kvius. And that's what Imre Yosher says, that you can brother and sister can stay together less than 30 days, more than 30 days is the problem. Ramosha doesn't really go with this analysis, and he says that it's subjective, and it depends. And he gives a couple of scenarios. He says that, let's say a brother is living on the East Coast, sister is living on the West Coast, so the brother comes to visit the sister. So if he wants to stay at her apartment, and if his staying is like an oreach, like he's staying, like a guest would stay at someone's house. So that's permitted. That's considered lefi sha. That's considered like an oreach. However, if they're living together, bikvius, that they're living permanently together, even for a certain period of time, then that would be a problem. So I guess that would mean, let's say, for example, a brother and sister were both accepted, let's say, to a college in New York City, and they both want to live on the Upper West Side, and it's cheaper for them to split an apartment, the rent of an apartment. So they really shouldn't do that. That based on yichud, let's say even if they're even for a semester, that would probably violate yichud for them to share a room, or even not a room, an apartment where they're separate rooms. There's still a yichud problem there also. So that would probably be a problem to visit a sibling, to stay for a few days, a week, a few weeks, like a guest would stay at someone's house. So then that would not be a problem of yichud for siblings. Another example Rav Moshe brings is that this is an Evan Ezer Chelak Dal Siman Samach Dal. Another example is, let's say parents go away for the night. Let's say you have a brother and a sister who are at home together, and the parents leave for the night. So, or they're leaving for a few hours. That's not yichud. That's l'fisha. Let's say they go for a few days. They go away for the weekend. That's probably also okay. And then Rav Moshe says that if they go, if they're going away for a long period of time, zman gadol yosem meharegilu shiyu biyichud. They say they go to Eretz Yisrael for 2 or 3 weeks. So then that would probably be a problem of yichud, and maybe another relative should stay with them at least part of the time. And then he also writes that there's no problem of yichud between siblings if one of them is old or sick, and so the other one needs to stay with them, take care of them. The issue of step parents or adopted parents is also a debated point. You know, how would a couple wants to adopt a child, and if the child, you know, if the, let's say, couple wants to adopt a boy, so that means the mother can never be in the same room with the child alone. It can be very difficult. There are three different approaches, at least to deal with this issue. Moshe Feinstein basically says, this is in Evan Ezer, Chelak Dalet Siman Samach Dalet, he writes that if the couple, as long as the couple is alive, so then let's say the couple adopts a daughter. So as long as the husband and wife are living together, and they're together, they're both alive and living together, so there's no Isser Yichud for the father to be alone with his adopted daughter, because he's, again, the issue of Yichud is not, we're not concerned for like extreme cases. We're dealing with people who are good people, and we don't want to let their passions get the best of them. So if they adopt a child, and the man is married to his wife, he's not going to do anything inappropriate with their adopted daughter, because his wife's around, and the daughter's going to say something to the wife, and then it's going to be the end of their marriage. So that's an additional protection. Could it happen? Maybe, but it's not very unlikely when they're married. So Moshe thinks at that point, he says that if husband and wife adopt a daughter, and let's say the wife dies, so then you might have a problem. Then you have to deal with the Isser of Yichud. As long as the wife's alive, then there's no Isser of Yichud. Tzitz Eliezer Chelak Vav Simon Mem, Perek Chaval, has a different way of understanding how we look at adopting a child. And he says that if you adopt a child when he or she is young, like a baby, before the Isser of Yichud applies, so then essentially you're raising this child as you would a biological child. And therefore, just like with a biological child, there's no concern of Yichud, you can act inappropriately. So too, if you raise a child for what he or she is younger than when the prohibition of Yichud starts, so then it shouldn't be a problem. Now, there's a question, when does the prohibition of Yichud start? So for a boy, it's the age of 9. For a girl, the Shulchan Aruch says the age of 3. Ramosha, though, has a tshuva where he seems to say that it's really probably not a problem if you're 7 or 8. There's another tshuva where he says maybe 6 or 7. He's not going to say that it's usser. And then another place seems to indicate maybe 8 is not a problem either. But basically, if you adopt a child when a couple adopts a child when the child is very young, like a baby, so then there'd be no problem of yichud, because the parents, you know, we can assume they're treating the child like a biological child would, so we're not concerned of acting inappropriately. However, there are those who disagree. The Shevet HaLevi in Chelak Vav Siman Kuf Tzadi Vav says that the only heter for yichud is a biological parent and a biological child, or Right, or a spouse and a woman and his wife who's a nida, but it's the leniency for parents and children, only biological parents and children, and therefore this would you can certainly adopt a child, but you have to be careful about the laws of yichud. What about how do you solve babysitting issues? So let's say you have a 15-year-old girl who's babysitting a 10-year-old boy or a 9-year-old boy. That potentially raises the problem of yichud. So this goes into the leniency of Pesach Pasuach. So the one of the leniencies of Yichud is that if the door is open, so then we're not concerned about Yichud. If a let's say a man and woman are alone in a house, but the doors or a room and doors open, and anyone can walk in at any time, so they're not going to act inappropriately because they're concerned that again we're talking about good people who want to do the right thing, and sometimes we want to avoid situations where maybe their passions will get the best of them. Doors open, then they're not. They're even less likely to act inappropriately, even if they let their passions almost let their passions get the best of them, because they're going to see someone may walk in, and so they're not going to do anything. So does it only apply when the door actually have to be open? There's a Rashba which seems to say that even if the door is closed but not locked, Rav Moshe in Eben Ezra Chelak Dalet Siman Samach Hey. He talks about a situation where even the door is locked, but let's say the door is locked, and you're in a room with a woman, or sorry, man's alone with a woman, and the door is locked. And then if someone knocks on the door, you would feel compelled to open the door immediately. Let's say they know you're in there with someone else. And when they knock on the door, you're going to have to answer immediately. And therefore, even though the door is locked, that is considered Pesach Pasuach. Let's say you have a meeting in your office with someone, with a man and a woman have a meeting together in an office. And they lock the door, but they don't put do not disturb. And when, let's say, a secretary would not knock on the door that someone wants to speak with them, they'd have to open right away. So that presumably would not raise the problem of Yichud if it's that's the scenario. If when the door is locked, no one will knock on the door. Or if they're, let's say, they're somewhere where the they're in a house and the door's locked, and a situation where people typically don't come in, or if they knock on the door, then you can easily not answer the door. No one's going to be suspicious, so you don't have that leniency of Pesach Pasuach. So that is applied to, let's say, if a 15-year-old girl is babysitting a 9-year-old boy. So there, if let's say someone has the key, let's say a neighbor has the key, and the babysitter knows that the neighbor could come in at any time, or can unlock the door at any time, or the neighbor can knock on the door, and the babysitter will have to answer, open the door at any time. So then you don't have the problem of yichud. Rabbi Willig told me that that works once, meaning if the babysitter knows that anyone can walk in at any time, so then that concern is that this could happen. Well, is an additional protection for the babysitter, and therefore there's no problem of yichud. Now, if after the first time, let's say she's a regular babysitter, and she knows after the first time that yeah, the neighbor has the key, but he never knocks on the door, he never comes in. So then at that point, what you should do is have someone stop in once, and so then she knows that someone can stop in at any time. So that should be sufficient to create this Pesach Pasuch based on what Rav Moshe says. Another potential leniency is that, let's say it's at nighttime, so you need three boys and one girl. So there's a concept that the Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer Siman Chaf Beis Seif Yud, which talks about a shomer, a shomeres. A shomer, a shomeres is someone who is yodas tam bia ve'eno maseres atzmo bia, that knows, when they see something inappropriate, but they themselves would not act inappropriately. So this Piskei Tshuva, let's say from until the age of nine, let's say the age of, they only say the age of between the age of 5 and 9. So between the age of 5 and 9, so then this child would not act inappropriately, but and they would say something if they would see someone acting inappropriately. So let's say you have these this situation of, say, you have two boys. And one's 9 years old and one's 7 year old, and you have a babysitter. Even though, let's say, at night you need maybe three, Or let's say the reverse. Let's say you have a 15-year-old boy male babysitter, and you have a 10-year-old girl, and you have, say, a 7-year-old girl. Okay? So then, even though you need one boy and three girls, but here you have one girl who's over 9, and you have another girl who would not act inappropriately, but if she would see something, she would say something. That's called a shomer/shomeres, and so that would solve the babysitting situation. So those are two ways to solve. Obviously, if the kids are very little, then there's no problem. If all the kids are, let's say, under 8, then there's no problem of a teenager babysitting. But if one of the kids is older, so it depends. If you have, right, two boys and one girl, a girl babysitter who's babysitting two boys, so that's not a problem. Or if you have, let's say, or if you have a male babysitter who's taking care of, let's say, three girls, so that's also not a problem. But you have also these solutions of Pesach Pasuach or a Shomer as well. What about cars? So there are, now I just want to point out that, before you get into cars, technically speaking, if you have three boys and one girl at night, then it's okay because, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, that if you have three men and one woman at night, so then it's, why we need an extra person? Because let's say one of them may fall asleep, so then you're down to two and one. Two boys and one girl is fine. At night, we're concerned someone's going to fall asleep, so you need three and one. The truth is, like, we live in these massive houses. Maybe in the old days, I don't think we all live in massive houses, but in the old days, they probably had one room. Everyone slept in one room or two rooms. So you can understand that even if someone's asleep, like what if two people go to sleep at night? So are you concerned about that? No, but maybe someone will wake up. If someone's acting inappropriately, someone may wake up. In our homes nowadays, where we could have multiple floors, and so you put two kids to sleep, and then you're alone with another, let's say a girl, a female babysitter, he puts two boys to sleep, and then she's alone with another boy. So technically, it might be okay, but it might not be the best idea. And Rabbi Willig told me that Rabbi Lichtenstein once said that not everything with yichud that is permitted should be done. So you have to also be careful beyond the halacha, also the, hashkafa, just make sure that if we're in a situation where potentially, even technically, it will not pose a problem, we have to also think about, is this a smart thing to do or not? When it comes to cars, so Rav Moshe and Etshuva and Evan Ezra, Chilek Dal, Siman Samach Hei, is not so excited about driving because maybe they're going to, a boy and a girl together, because maybe they may go to a private area, certainly at night. But he thinks that, and he's talking about a case, I think, where they're traveling in a highway, and he thinks that because that maybe if a woman's very upset, let's say he's traveling from he's in the mountains in the summer, and he's traveling back to the city, and she wants a ride, and she's gonna be upset. Why is he not giving her a ride? So then he thinks to say that it would be okay. The Mincha Shlomo Zalman Orbach in Chelek Aleph Siman Tzadi Aleph discusses the fact that you have windows in the car, so it might be considered Pesach Pasuach. We're not concerned about if a man and woman are driving alone in a car that they may say, okay, let's pull over to the side or let's go to a motel and engage in something inappropriate. That's not what Issur Yichud's about. Issur Yichud is about in the place where you are now, are we concerned that maybe let your past get the best of you and act inappropriately? And so he thinks that in general, he thinks that there are a lot of cars going back and forth, and so there are a lot of cars on the highway. So it's we're not concerned about that you're going to stop the car and go somewhere else and go somewhere, private. And he says that since the window's open, so there's room to be lenient. There's a nitik. The nitik Gavriel writes in Chelik Memdal Sif Aleph. He says, "Benisia ben Ir leiv makom shein over mishavi." But let's say you're traveling between city to city, where there's no one there, there aren't people living there. Imyesh tenua b'li klei rechev kol hazman. If there are always cars traveling, like in the big highways, he says, and the ways are lit, so then it's okay. But in a very remote area, so maybe it's a problem. So I think that's generally we would assume that in most places. You know, what's the shear of Yichud? The shear of Yichud is probably around, let's say, the shear of Yichud is probably what it's forbidden is you can't be alone with a woman. I'm sorry, a man cannot be alone with a woman when, let's say, for the time it would take to undress and engage in the prohibited activity and then get dressed again. So let's say, how long is that? 8, 9 minutes, 10 minutes? So the question is, when you're driving on the road together with someone of the opposite sex, so are you driving someplace where there aren't cars that are going to be driving past, cars going by for 10 minutes? And that's why in most places, let's say going from camps in upstate New York, in most places when you're driving the highway, there probably will be some cars, or there's a possibility of some cars driving by at least once in 10 minutes. So it's probably okay. That's what I really thought it would be okay, unless it's somewhere really, really, really remote where there are no cars going, you know, within 10 minutes, you know, in any direction. That there's, but in most places going back from some of these camps, there are cars, and therefore you don't have a yichud problem. He pointed out to me that it's better for a couple, let's say late at night, for them to be on a main street and not the driveway of their house, as a practical matter. And if you're in the driveway of your house, you're alone together, that could run into, again, halachically it might be okay if there are some people, you know, still who are potentially going to walk by the house or drive by the house, but you might run into more problems in the driveway of a house as opposed to on a main street. What about a workplace? So the Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva on Evan Ezra Chelek Dal Siman Samachay about someone who visits a doctor. And he writes the following. He gives sort of two potential leniencies. He says, number one is that the doctor is Torah Bimlachto. He's involved in his work. We're not concerned that he's going to act inappropriately. So that might be a reason to be lenient. And also, there's Pesach Pasuach. There are always there are secretaries or there are nurses that could be knocking on the door, walking in and out, or asking the doctor, you know, about a question. So even if he's alone in a room with a woman, a male doctor's alone with a woman, so then there's you have the leniency of both Torah Bimlachto and Pesach Pasuach, and therefore it probably is not a problem. He thinks, or Moshe thinks, that the doctor is to be alone with a woman, with a patient, female patient, after the secretary has left and there's no one there, so that he's more concerned about. And this gets into the issue about what about a psychologist, let's say a therapist, a social worker. Let's say she has a private practice and she's seeing a male client in the privacy of her own home, or in the privacy of an office, or she has the last. So if it's an office and maybe people will knock on the door, and it's possible someone's going to knock on the door and she would have to answer, so that's probably not a problem. What if she's having it in her house and no one else is home? So that might be a problem. Could you rely on Torah Bimlachto, that she's involved in her work, so therefore it's not a problem? Maybe it's a hard heter to rely on. It would seem the best solution would be really cameras. That would seem to be. Cameras are a great solution. It's not, some postgame are not excited about it, but a number of postgim are excited about cameras. There's a sefer, Yaakov Skotchelis. So he talks about that if the camera has to be on, and you know, it could be uncomfortable. You know, you have a camera facing the client, so that's so maybe the client doesn't want him to be on camera or her to be on camera, but maybe the camera can just be facing the doctor, or the psychologist, the therapist, the social worker. So if there's a camera that's always facing the doctor, so then according to many postgame, that would solve the problem. It would solve the problem for a therapist's office. Probably solves the problem for a couple to go on a date to escape the room where there are cameras there watching them. It might also solve a problem for the babysitter. If there are cameras all around the house, then the babysitter could be alone with, let's say a 50-year-old female babysitter could be alone with a 9-year-old boy if they make sure to only be in places where there's a camera. If there isn't a camera in every single area of the house, then they can't be alone in a place where there's no camera. And same thing with the housekeeper. Let's say housekeeper is alone with, let's say a female housekeeper is alone with a man. So if the man makes sure to always be in an area where there are cameras, so that should also be okay. So cameras seem to be a good solution for a therapist, a housekeeper, a babysitter, or the day to escape the room. The last issue that I want to discuss is maybe yichud between an aide and an elderly person. So sometimes you have a situation where let's say a male elderly person can only find a female aide, and she's really takes very good care of him. And what do you do? So is there an issur of yichud? So there are some leniencies. Again, the best thing would be to get a camera wherever all around the house, wherever the man is going to be. So the camera is the best. There are other leniencies. The Tzitz Eliezer writes in Chelek Vav Simon Mem in Kuntres Isser Yichud Perich Chabez, he says the whole Isser of Yichud is because it could lead to inappropriate relations. So it could be that someone, if an elderly person does not have that anymore, he does not have any, cannot have relations, doesn't have the strength anymore to do that, so then maybe there's no Isser of Yichud. So he wants to say that this is, the reason for yichud is because it can lead to inappropriate relations. So if it's really not shaykh, it's not possible. So then it should be okay to be alone, to no issur of yichud with an aide. And Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying, well, not clear if this is, he's not 100% excited about this heter, because maybe sometimes they don't have maybe sometimes they lose the desire to have relations, maybe, but then they can get it back. But this is a potential solution. Some posts can allow it if it's very clear. If it's very clear that the elderly person has no desire anymore for relations, so then there'd be no Isser of Yichud. But again, another solution would also be to use a camera to place in the house, and then also in all areas of the house. So that would also solve the Yichud problem.